Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt der Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Traune! Tor, 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 Tor,
Good morning, good evening and good afternoon and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast with me, Johnny Walsh. Today we are once again joined by Matthew Karagic. Matthew, how are you doing?
Very good, pleasure to be on once more.
And if I could get the intro right, I wouldn't have to ask you again. But it's been a busy, busy week. We have just finished with match day 7 and we're heading into match day 8 with plenty on the line. Of course, it's been a busy English week. This will bring things to a close and what has been a week and a bit of non-stop Zweite Bundesliga football apart from Monday night. But we love it all the same and we can't wait to discuss what should be an excellent 9 games coming up this weekend. But Matthew, how have you enjoyed the English week? Are you coping with all the football?
Yeah, absolutely. It's heavenly to, you know, be able to watch so much football and obviously the standard is really high, so it, you know, keeps bringing you in. So, yeah, very happy. And we saw, you know, 9 very good games for midweek. Obviously, for some of the teams, the travel wasn't very beneficial. But nonetheless, I think football fans, especially Zweite Liga fans, were treated to a football feast.
A football feast is right. And hopefully, even if you don't manage to catch this on the Friday, you can listen along, be it with the golf, be it with the NFL, whatever your sporting choice is. Or maybe even a little bit of FIFA. It is out this weekend, but for me the priority is golf, and that will take preference for me. But let's not waste any more time. We're not going to look at what went on in match day 7. We're going to have a quick review of that. We're going to look ahead to match day 8, of course, and not only that, we have 2 questions to slot in at the very, very end, just to make sure you have your voices heard. So, Matthew, normally we do pretty well when it comes to picking our games, but our first Group 1 game didn't really go to plan. Greuther Fürth 0, HSV 0. Not much really to say about that one, is there?
No, I think the only real incident was the goal that was ruled out for Hamburg. Yeah, the more you think about it, the more you can't see why it was rubbed out. I mean, Bates is in a fair position, and Sascha Borchardt doesn't really do much to get possession. So I think Hamburg would be a little bit salty that that goal was ruled out.
I've seen a few differing opinions on that one. I think it's very much 50-50 as to whether or not you think it should have counted or not. Maybe there's a few Köln fans and a few of the others in the promotion chasing pack that are screaming that it should have been disallowed, and a few others who are maybe questioning why. But overall, Matthew, I think a draw was probably a fair result. HSV probably had the better of it, but I don't think they really did anything to warrant the 3 points.
Agreed, and I thought Fürth were disciplined defensively, and they made it tricky for Hamburg to get those clear-cut chances. They nullified Lasoga's impact up front, and I thought overall it was a very good defensive display by Fürth at home, and another point in the right direction for them and for Hamburg. It's been a tough English week so far.
Yes, and it doesn't get any easier when you factor in that there is a small matter of a derby game this weekend. But I think a draw overall was a fairly solid result for both sides. I think if you'd offered them that beforehand, especially given that HSV had conceded 5 on Sunday, this was probably a pretty decent result. It, of course, meant that Fürth bounced back from that 2-0 defeat. As you said, Matthew, the defence had a very, very good game. And from there, I think it's only right that we quickly move on, given that there wasn't too much to discuss in that one, and look at Union's 2-0 win over Holstein Kiel. And it was a wonderful return to action for Sebastian Polter.
Yeah, and what a special goal it was. Great bit of improvisation and class, really. I mean, it's what you dream of. We saw Rio Miucci do it against Ingolstadt on the weekend. And, yeah, you love seeing players come back, especially from a long spell of injury. And, yeah, I think it capped off what was a very good ending for Union.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I would say that while we're looking at HSV and the Fürth game and saying that maybe neither side deserved to take the 3 points in this one, I think overall Union probably deserved it. And even though they left it late, it's another important win, and they keep climbing that table.
They do. And I think we've spoken about it a few times on the podcast, how they are a potential contender for promotion, and beating a side like Kiel, who, you know, have shown a lot of resiliency throughout. It's a very good result. They've come off a few draws in a row, Union, so it's good for them to break the shackles, and let's see if they can kick on from here.
Yeah, it's a big chance for them to lay down a marker in the coming weeks and try and break through and maybe put a bit of distance between themselves and the chasing pack when it comes to even chasing down Köln. But I'm sure that Rose Fisser won't let themselves get carried away. It is another defeat for Kiel, however. They did manage to bounce back from their previous one with a draw at Bochum. Do you think they'll be able to do the same this weekend, or are we maybe going to see a little bit of an inconsistent patch from Kiel now?
Oh, it depends. It depends if they can create good quality chances going forward. You know, they look certainly a lot better at home than they do away from home. They give up better quality chances, I reckon, on the road. They're hard to read. I think last podcast I mentioned that they've had a really weird season and very unpredictable. So I don't know what kind of Kiel side we're going to see on the weekend.
It will be interesting to see for sure. And plenty of dilemmas in terms of selection for Tim Walter. There's a lot of talented players in that group, although a few injuries have crept into the side, so it'll be interesting to see how he can deal with that and whether or not he can try and get things back on track. And from Kiel, who will play Darmstadt this weekend, we move on to the Lilies. They took on Armenia Bielefeld, should I say. And Matthew, this wasn't a classic by any means, but some more late drama swung the game in favour of Armenia.
Yeah, I mean, it was tight, and you know, we know how much Darmstadt like to keep it defensively compact and limit chances, and they did that for a good portion of the game. And they helped their cause by taking the lead through Itak Sulu, whose header was unsurprising, being that he's such an aerial threat at set pieces. But yeah, they 3 points dropped for them. In theory, they allowed Bielefeld to apply a lot of pressure in the last 20 minutes, and they would be kicking it themselves. It was they were there. They had the 3 points sewn up, and then Massimo gets a goal, and then Hartertz in added time to break the hearts. It's a great win for Bielefeld, who have a massive game on the weekend. And I think for Darmstadt, it's the second consecutive defeat. And now we will see what sort of resolute they've got going forward.
It's going to be a tricky away trip to Kiel, that is for sure. And as you rightly mentioned, a big, big game at home for Armenia against Köln. If they win that one, they really outline themselves as promotion contenders this season for me. And why not? I think that's a rotated side that went to Darmstadt and won, and that's never an easy thing to do, especially under the floodlights at the Bulla. And, you know, to a man, I thought they were excellent. They were very, very disciplined. To start with four wing backs was bold from Jeff Sabina, but it paid off. They did really well. I thought Hartertz and Lukoki, that's probably what they'll go for against Köln, I would imagine. It was very, very solid. It offered them a little bit more solidity going down that left-hand side that they might not have with the likes of Stauda or Weyrauch, and that could be what they need against Köln. I thought Edmundsson having to play as a striker for the first time for Armenia was very, very good. And, you know, the fact that they're still managing to score goals without Klose and Vogeltsama starting speaks volumes about where this team are headed. And I'm really, really excited to see what they can do. Do you think that they can maybe crack that top three this season, or is this a year where they'll try and build towards something bigger?
We think last season was the building blocks. You know, they finished in the top half of the standings. I thought they were quite good, but they had patches where they dropped off here and there. I mean, if they were to get a result against Köln, I mean, then you'd have to start taking them really seriously. Similar to Union, I think they're in that pack where they could easily challenge for that third place or even promotion. They've got a deep squad. We've spoken about how they've got plenty of quality, and I think Jeff Savin probably deserves a little bit more credit than he gets. He's done a great job with the squad, and they keep finding results, and let's see if they can do it again on the weekend.
I think we might as well throw Samir Arabi in there as well. He's helped put this squad together, and that's been no mean feat given Armenia's lack of funds. But from one team who have a lack of funds to another, that is VfL Bochum, who, despite being the better side against Dynamo Dresden for large parts of the game, just couldn't get the job done. They fell to a 1-0 defeat against the side from Eastern Germany. And another big, big win for Mike Valpurgis, Matthew.
Yeah, 3-4, and they're looking really good now. And it seems like his short tenure, he's found a way to get the best out of the players. And, the psychology is certainly working. They took the 1-0 lead via the spot. You know, Moussa Kone has now 3 goals in his last 2. And, they were able to hold off a Bochum side that were really frustrated throughout the contest. And, I think that and a bunch of other factors may have led to Robin Dott saying plenty of things that he wished he could have taken back.
Yes, that didn't go too well afterwards. Robin Dutt said that we all live in a protest society, and many, many other things. He said that he didn't understand the ultras boycott, that he hopes that the Bochum fans have agreed with the Dynamo supporters to have 20 minutes of silence at the start of their next home game. So, I don't know, I think it's heated the moment, but I also still don't think he understands the plight of the ultras. And maybe if things go well this weekend against Heidenheim, maybe he can come out and explain himself a bit more. I know he did speak to Westline, I think it was, about not Westlife, Westline, about that. And I don't know, we'll see what comes out of it. I think hopefully it'll blow away, but not the ideal thing to say the day the ultras come back to the Oskova. But I thought Bochum were disappointing, and apart from maybe Sebastian Maia, it was a pretty slow and turgid performance. The defence didn't do badly, to be fair, but they didn't really have that much to do in that case either. And it was just one of those nights where Marcus Schubert, Matthew, turned in an incredible goalkeeping performance. And even when he wasn't there, the frame of the goal was in the way, and it prevented Bochum from taking something from the game.
They do say the posts are the best friends for goalkeepers. And but not taken away from Schubert, he was fantastic. And I think a performance like that is enough to cement himself as the number one for Dresden. I know they brought in Tim Boss from Fortuna Köln during the summer, but he obviously got injured prior to the season. Schubert has had some okay performances, but his last few have been really consistent. He's looked stable between the sticks, very good footwork. He's made some good saves. And, I think now he has a real opportunity to not only be the number one for now, but the number one for the future.
It certainly looks that way. And when we talk about promising young German goalkeepers, as much as he isn't as young as he used to be, Timo Horn definitely falls into that category. And he was very, very important for Köln as they picked up a 2-1 win against Ingolstadt and maintained their lead at the top of the table. It wasn't for a lack of trying, Matthew, that Ingolstadt didn't manage to find the breakthrough, but they did look very, very good under Alexander Nuri.
Yeah, I agree. I think we haven't seen an Ingolstadt side look that threatening going forward, but at least and competent defensively all season. I think Nuri coming in a day before the Köln game, he made his tactics present. A back three straight off the bat, you know, that's exactly the way he likes to play. When he coached Bremen, it's a defensive first mentality, quick on the break going forward. And I thought they were very good and very stiff, not to get a point, I think, for good periods of the game. They kept Köln honest throughout. And I think there's a few Ingolstadt supporters that would agree that some bad luck saw them not take a point in a game they deserve something from.
I think on effort alone, you could probably argue that they deserved a point, and in the end it was finishing and a superb goalkeeping performance that cost them that. But when you have Simon Toada down the other end, it's pretty hard when you keep giving him chances, and that's exactly what Ingolstadt did. He had a couple in the first half that he couldn't take advantage of. He said himself that he had a guilty conscience that he didn't take those, and he more than made up for it in the second half, didn't he?
He did, and it just seems like this league doesn't have an answer for him, no matter who he's playing for. He just finds the back of the net with regularity, and I don't know what you do to stop him, because he just finds a way. He finds a way, doesn't matter where it comes from, and he proves to be the league's best, and obviously the number one fan club member of the Simon Toroda show is obviously our host, so, you know, you just keep loving it.
Yeah, well, the fact that Bilt actually came up with an article saying how long can Yogi do without Simon Toroda in the national team was a bit weird. The fact that people are actually starting to ask why he's not in the national team. If he does get into the Germany side, so many people have been wrong, which gives me so much pride from something that was initially a joke has now turned very serious. And Simon, if you are listening by any chance, please save your 100th goal. Get several assists against Armenia if you want, but please save number 100 for when I'm there against Duisburg, because it would be a very special occasion. And from our first section of Match Day 7, we will now move on to the second section, which has arguably more entertainment than the first, which is always nice, saving the best to last. And St. Pauli certainly did that against Paderborn. 2-1 win in the 93rd minute. Richie Neudecker, players often get questioned if they're as committed as they used to be, as some people might nostalgically look back at the leather footballs of yesteryear. But Richie Neudecker certainly put his body on the line. A good cutback from Henk Veerman, but he left him with a little bit to do. And to be fair to Richie Neudecker, he slid into that post as hard as he could to make sure that ball went over the line. And I think, Matthew, it's one of those ones where that was just the sort of momentum swing, not necessarily Richie Neudecker hitting the post, but that late goal gives St. Pauli a massive boost coming into this massive, massive game on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the commitment, I think I've said, it's extraordinary how much he really wanted the goal, and he wasn't going to be denied no matter how much pain he was going to put himself in. And you love to see it. And they enter the derby in great shape. Defensively, they look very solid. I think I put a stat on Twitter with Christopher Avivor. They've conceded only twice when he's played this season, and 12 without him. So his defensive display was once again very good. They keep finding a way, and now they've regained their defensive resilience. They really see themselves as a good chance of getting a result against Hamburg.
It's the David Bates effect all over again, I suppose, and it's quite ironic that two defenders who either side can't do without, you know, they're both fit and ready again for this weekend, so maybe we're going to have to deal with a 0-0. But I certainly hope not. Matthew, did you think Paderborn were a little bit unlucky in this one? I think they controlled the game for large parts and were maybe a little bit unlucky to not take all 3 points here.
I do. I thought they were very impressive once again, and they keep showing that they have so much potential to be a really tough side to beat, home and away. They would be disappointed, and rightfully so. I'm Still uncertain if that second yellow card was really a yellow card at all. That second yellow on 85 really gave momentum to St. Pauli, and obviously they found the winner through Neudecker. I think they had the better chances throughout, and they were very stiff.
Yeah, it's a shame for them because they have been on a pretty decent run of late, but I'm sure they will look to bounce back against Awa this weekend, and we will come on to the derby a little bit later, don't worry. But from St. Pauli, we will head to Magdeburg and look at another game where Magdeburg were winning and failed to capitalise. Another defeat for them, well, not another defeat, but another draw that will certainly feel like a defeat given how late that Lukas Daschner equaliser was. And Matthew, no matter what they seem to do, even when they take the lead, you know, a couple of minutes from the end, they just can't seem to hold on. And Magdeburg, if they can't start and convert these draws into wins, it's going to be a long old season.
Yeah, it's the type of result that they don't need, obviously. They're yet to win in the league. And, yeah, it's very frustrating, especially at home. They did so well to, you know, get back in the game. I thought the substitutions, having Christian Beck come on, made an impact. They certainly looked more threatening. Tirpitz's goal was brilliant, you know, considering the angle, and beating Mezenholler on the near post was very good. But, yeah, the psychological side of it is they take the lead and they completely switch off again, and they allow Duisburg an opportunity, and it was, truth be told, a very scrappy goal to give up. With 2 minutes before the 90. And, yeah, those kinds of results will be very problematic if they keep happening. You kind of sense that if they can't fix these mental gremlins, they're definitely going to be in the relegation fight.
It's looking that way, and I think it was just unfortunate how that goal happened. It should have been easily cleared. It was almost at knee height, but I can't remember who it was. I think it was Hanke bends down to try and head it away. It hits Muller in the back and goes in. It was just one of those freak goals where you can't do much about it, but it's one of those things. And as much as we're talking about this as a negative result for Magdeburg, I think we have to give due credit to Duisburg for coming back when all looked lost.
Agreed. And it's a good fighting spirit. And it's, I think it shows that that Ilya Gruev has the backing of the players, that, you know, going 2-1 down, 3-2 down, they kept looking for that equalising goal, and it didn't matter how it came, they would find a way. And yeah, it's a hard point, but it's a point that they'll take, but they still need to break through and take that win. It's obviously getting even more harder, and the longer they struggle to get a victory, the harder it's going to be for them to stay up.
It's a 10th drop point from winning positions this season, and if you put that into perspective, had they managed to hold on to the lead each occasion that they've managed to take it, they would be only a point behind Köln, which is quite remarkable and says an awful lot about how well Magdeburg have played without getting reward yet. So 5 draws and 2 defeats so far. Hopefully for their sake they can start and convert those into wins, and it's just happy how these things work out. We've been speaking about Magdeburg, and we move on to their opponents this weekend, but not before looking at what was a very big game at the bottom of the table on Wednesday evening, which saw Sandhausen pick up their first win of the season and move out of the bottom two. They are in the 16th now, level on points with Magdeburg. They beat Erzgebirge Aue 2-0. And Matthew, I don't think anyone could really argue with this result. I think Sandhausen fully deserved the 3 points.
Agreed. They showed a good attitude and a desire for the contest. And I think it's been a long time coming for them. They've had games where they've been defensively well-sounded, but attackingly they lacked the cutting edge. And now we've seen them, you know, get the final product. I thought Schlusner was quite good overall. And yeah, it's a crucial 3 points for Sandhausen, who've come close but been very unfortunate. But for Auer, it's kind of disappointing because they've come off two decent wins. I thought they were quite ordinary.
It was a big chance for them to pull even further away from the relegation zone, and had they won, they only would have been 3 points away from second. I know that's not their aim this season, but there's just the 6 points between Union in second and Awa in 14th, which says all you need to know about how tight the table is already this season. But I think it was one of those games where they just never really got going, and it told on the night. Sandhausen took advantage, great goal from Wooten and Schleusner as well. Big goals. Just to have their striker scoring again is massive, and they'll hope that continues, especially this weekend with how big that game against Magdeburg is. But our final game, looking back on match day 7, is Jan Regensburg against Erste FC Heidenheim. And Matthew, I think at 2-1 in the first half we were expecting another 3-3 perhaps, like in Magdeburg, but it wasn't to be, and Jan came out on top.
Yeah, we could only be hopeful for a tour fest, but it was a frenetic start to the game, and it's another good win for Jan, and heading into the English week we had our doubts about whether they could get it going, and 7-2 games. Adam Jan has 4, which, you know, is very good for him. And it's a really positive performance for Regensburg now. They look like they're going to take some momentum. But for Heidenheim, it's maybe a little bit disappointing. It's good that Bobby Gleitzel hit the score sheet once more, and he's equal second with 5 in the goal scoring tally. But I think they would have been a little bit disappointed that they couldn't bounce back after going behind once more.
I think all the rotation after that win against Fürth didn't help, and maybe that's why they started so sluggishly and couldn't really get back into things. Of course, they brought the big guns off the bench in the second half, but it just seemed a bit too little too late, and the second half really wasn't much of a spectacle at all. I had the conference on because Sky's player just did not want to work for whatever reason, and I could only run one stream at a time, so I was stuck with the conference, as horrible as that sounds, and we very, very, very rarely went to that Heidenheim game. So I think overall, given what I seen in the first half anyway, it was a deserved win for Jan Regensburg. And from our Match Day 7 review, we will now move on to the Match Day 8 preview, and yes, that does mean the derby. Yes, well, there's only really one place to start when it comes to match day 8, isn't there? It's the derby game, the one that we've all been looking forward to, the one that the police forces maybe haven't been anticipating quite so much. It has been a pretty busy week for them when it comes to taking care of things around Hamburg, but instead of matters off the pitch, we will focus on matters on the pitch. And Matthew, I think before the season, we all looked at this and thought, given HSV's squad, they've got to win both derbies this season. But coming into this one, the form is with St. Pauli, and I don't know, this could be closer than we thought.
Yeah, it is. It could go either way. And even in derby games, form and a bunch of other things don't really matter. I mean, it's whoever comes out in the day and performs. And obviously, it's going to be a spectacle. I mean, the fans are going to come out in force. Hopefully there's no drama between the fan groups. And let's just let the football do the talking, and hopefully we'll get not only a great contest, but plenty of goals.
Yep, that's what we all want, so long as the action is on the pitch and not off it. That's what we all want to see. Where do you think this game will be won and lost? I think that's maybe where people are maybe coming into this as neutrals, maybe not being so au fait with some of the players in the St. Pauli team. I would imagine most of them know what's going on with HSV, but where do you think St. Pauli could get the upper hand here? Is it defensive solidity? We've seen HSV fail to really create and score. Is it going to be another case where Marvin Knoll, Christopher Avivoa, Philip Sirais, that trio who have performed so well when they've been able to play together, are they going to dominate this one once more?
I think that is, those three will play a pivotal role in the contest, and I think we have to look at more where Hamburg are going to line up. is Christian Tietz going to be tempted to play a false nine, and is he going to rotate his squad? I couldn't imagine that he would, because it wouldn't go down very well. Yeah, I think those three are pivotal. I think Marvin Knoll as the destroyer in midfield has been a big win for St. Pauli and for basically getting him for chump change. I mean, it's been one of the buys of the season. But yeah, I think in midfield it's going to be really pivotal how they utilise the width, whether it's with Mats Moladele or will it be Cenk Sahin or will Richie Neudecker get the start. I think those areas are going to be really important, and making sure that they stretch Hamburg, because Hamburg are going to try and play with a lot of possession and ensuring that, you know, that St. Pauli are ready to play on the counter and whatnot. I think hopefully Marcus Kalczynski would have seen some of the other games, and there is certainly a blueprint to beating Hamburg this season.
It's a funny one. I think as much as HSV will obviously they're going to want to win both derbies, but maybe at this stage of the season, given how tricky things have been, is this a game where it's must not lose rather than must win? Obviously the bragging rights are nice, and it's great to have the momentum swing of winning this derby going into the remainder of the Hinrunde, because at the end of the day we're almost halfway through it now. Is this a game where you just want to not lose, or is that a dangerous mentality to come into this with?
That is a very dangerous mentality to come in with, and I don't think if Christian Tietz wants to play that game, he's setting them up for failure. You know, you want your team to go in trying to win the game, and especially where bragging rights are so important, being that, you know, St. Pauli and Hamburg aren't very, you know, is the same city, and it's one of those where I don't think Hamburg fans will be too pleased if they're like, well, we're just going to try and get a point in this game. The expectation is they've got to go and win it. St. Pauli won't put it on a platter for them. So it's going to be very interesting. And I think, you know, Tietz has to go with the mindset that they need the 3 points, not just to stave off the media scrutiny and from their other results, but also just to build some confidence in the group once more. And as ridiculous as it sounds that they are sitting in the top four and you know, they're doing okay, just their lack of consistency and continuity has really cost them throughout.
Yeah, that was a funny one to see Bilt speculating about him being under so much pressure and whether or not it's time to go. But whether or not that is the case, and I would hope to goodness that HSV and Ralf Becker have more sense than to sack Christian Tietz. Yeah, I think it's just more nonsense story from Bilt, which comes as no surprise. But that's just how it goes, and the lead-up to Derby Week is always crazy, so maybe that's on their minds as well. We don't often ask you for exact score previews, Matthew, but what way are you leaning on this one?
I think it's going to be a draw. I'm going 1-1. I think Hamburg to take the lead, and then St. Pauli to find a way back and level the ledger.
I'm going to be really boring and say it's also going to be 1-1, and I already have that saved in Kicktip. So anyone who thinks I'm lying, it's there, you know, believe us. But yeah, that's the biggest game of the weekend, and had it not been for this big, big derby match, I think we would be looking at Köln's trip to Arminia Bielefeld as by far and away the most interesting fixture of the match day. And that's not to say that it isn't, because I really, really can't wait for this one as we record this, as we sit down on a Friday morning, for me at least. This is the one I can't wait for. It's going to be an absolute cracker. The Alm is completely sold out, and yeah, it promises to be a great, great game. Matthew, can Arminia upset the apple cart?
They could. I mean, anything's possible. And we've seen this season in the Zweite Liga, you know, anyone can beat anybody. And Köln have still got those defensive gremlins. We saw Ingolstadt were able to open them up. And, you know, Bielefeld have the players who can be creative going forward. They've got good strikers in Klaus and Vogelsammer. Edmundsson has been really good as well. Whether he's played out wide or he's come more centrally, they could very much put the cat amongst the pigeons and get a result here on the weekend.
I think it's very, very possible. I think it depends how Cullen come into this one. I think Kicker had a similar team down, apart from Suho Goasi coming in on left midfield and Matthias Bada at right back. So whether or not that happens remains to be seen. But a very similar Cullen lineup. I think Armenia will shift back into what we're used to. Do you think Vogelsammer and Klose can trouble Sobiech and Rafael Sikos, or will those two be able to show their class and show why they are two of the best defenders in the Zweite Bundesliga?
It's going to be a great matchup, and I think that's a good area to where the game might be won. And it could be line ball. It'll be interesting to see how it shapes up. And I think if either Vogelsammer or Klose can get the hand up, the edge on Osobiec or Chikos, they have a really good chance of getting something out of the game. And it'll be a cracking matchup. I can't pick who'd win it, but certainly one to watch.
It most definitely is, and I think should Armenia get an early goal in that game, especially backed by that raucous home crowd, it could change things completely. And I think as much as defence and attack is important, you're looking at a big, big performance from the likes of Manuel Puitel in the middle and Niels Seufert as well, who has been, I think, one of the most consistent players in the league so far this season. I think he's been an absolute revelation since he came in from Kaiserslautern and hasn't had to play with the pressure of potentially being relegated hanging over his head. And we're really starting to see Matthew, a very, very good player, starting to come through.
Absolutely. And you know, when you get surrounded by good players, it certainly makes a difference, and you really feed off the energy of what the other players give. And it not only helps you feel more comfortable with your surroundings, but also allows you to play with a bit more freedom. And he's shown that this season. And I think Bielefeld are very fortunate that he's showing his quality and he's helping them win games throughout the season.
Yeah, that is very much the case. And whether or not he can do that on the biggest stage remains to be seen. But I think if you are neutral and you want to take in another Zweite Bundesliga game this weekend, that is definitely the one to do it with. We're going to have to start and hurry up, Matthew. We're taking ages over these, but those are the two biggest games this weekend anyway. Dynamo against Fürth next, which is a clash that none of us really expected to be the chance for either side to go into the top two with, but it's there for them. And where do you see this one going? I think this is another close one to call, but maybe home advantage for Dynamo will be enough for them.
Yeah, I really like Dresden in this game, and they've shown an ability to take chances. They were really good in their last home performance against Darmstadt, and I think the home support will be just enough for Fürth, who, you know, granted their defensive qualities, can hold the likes of Kone. But I'm backing Dresden in this one.
I would side with you there. I think that home support and Fürth's away record don't really mix. So, sorry, Danny, I think we're going to have to go with Dynamo. And Matthew, a win for Dynamo would put them on to 15 points. And depending on how results go this weekend, they could be only a point off the top. It's been an amazing start for them.
Yeah, it's been extraordinary, and you know, what a difference a change of manager and a change of sort of scenery does. And Mike Valpurgis has done wonders, and I'm not going to try and toot my own horn, but I think I may have predicted this at the start of the season, that change of manager would bring the best out of the players, and it has done so far.
And that recording has now been deleted. So, no proof there. No, you were definitely right with that one, and fair play to you. You were absolutely spot on. But my claim to fame will be with the next one. I said Kiel wouldn't get relegated, and at the moment they're looking far and away better than those teams below them. But at the same time, they've got to keep picking up points, especially if they want to have a chance of promotion, which at this early stage in the season, and given how tight the table is, definitely hasn't fallen away from them yet. They welcome Darmstadt to the Holstein Stadion on this weekend and on match day 8. And, you know, halfway through the Hinrunde, Matthew, would both of these sides be satisfied so far, or are they looking for a little bit more?
I think so. I mean, you look at Kiel and you bring in a new manager, a lot of uncertainty, people writing them off from the outset. I'm kind of one included, but I think it takes time to learn a new system, a new mentality, and you know, despite a few results being a bit ordinary and some of their play, they've done enough. And I think Darmstadt, obviously, last season was a write-off. They were very poor for long stretches. But yeah, they've been a lot better this season under Dirk Schuster. And I think both teams would be quite happy that they're in the hunt, and you know, they're well and away an opportunity to press for promotion.
Where are you coming down on that one? Do you think Kiel can get this win, or will the long trip up from Darmstadt prove fruitful for those travelling supporters?
Yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Kiel. It wasn't an ideal result in Berlin, but I think they'll bounce back in front of the home support and make it a miserable English week for Darmstadt.
We shall see how that goes. And two teams here looking to bounce back after defeats during midweek are Heidenheim and Bochum. And Matthew, Bochum, if they want to keep tabs on the sides above them, going to have to pick up 3 points in this one, because they can't afford to let them get too far ahead of them, even at this early stage.
Agreed. And, you know, with the sort of expectations and the impression that Robin Dutz instilled into the team, this is the kind of game that they would expect to win, even though it's at Heidenheim. They are a tough team to play. It's certainly one of those where if you really see yourself as a genuine promotional chance, you have to beat teams like Heidenheim, and you have to win away from home.
Do you think that resting those players in midweek, as much as he brought a couple of them off the bench at halftime, do you think that's maybe going to swing the game in Heidenheim's favour, having those players rested? Of course, Bochum are without Robbie Cruz, Danilo, Tom Violant, a doubt for the game as well. They could see Lee Chung-Yung come in for his starting debut. Do you think that those factors maybe put this in Heidenheim's favour, or can Bochum still manage to get the job done?
It's kind of a line ball game for me. I think it will probably end in a draw. But, if I was Heidenheim, I'd be very much looking to target the left back and left midfield sides of the right-hand side of the pitch. They could really make headway with Busch and Schnatterer on the right. So I think that's where they would like to prone their attacks. And, I think if Heidenheim are going to take the 3 points, they'll probably utilise the right-hand side of the pitch, whereas, you know, Bochum, it's one of those where they need to really start converting their chances. They can dominate games, as we saw in midweek against Dresden, but they sometimes just don't have the final product.
That is very true. And one side that didn't like the final product, of course, during the midweek matches were Union, and they take on Ingolstadt on Monday evening. That's going to be a long and a horrendous trip for the Union fans, who haven't been dealt a kind hand when it comes to Monday night games this season. But nevertheless, a tricky trip, one that they managed to win last year thanks to Christopher Trimmel's incredible volley. We're talking about incredible volleys. That is, of course, what Sebastian Polter did on the midweek matches with a superb bicycle kick. I think we were all in awe of that one. But will it be Polter? Will it be Anderson? I think it will be Anderson, just given the fact that Polter is just back in a couple of games in a short period of time, whereas Fisher isn't going to want to risk his star striker. But it's an embarrassment of riches up front for them at the moment, Matthew.
Yeah, some teams would love to have those two, or at least one of them, in their squad. And I'm with you. I would, you know, wrap Polter and Colton Wood, maybe have him do cameo appearances off the bench for a little bit. Let him ease into a bit of match fitness, and then when the time's ready, then we'll see who his preference will be, if it's Anderson or Polter. And I think for Anderson, if he wants to lay claim to being the numero uno up front, then time to get back on the score sheet. And against Ingolstadt, he has a great opportunity.
He certainly does. But at the same time, Ingolstadt come into this game, even after that defeat in Köln, with so many positives, and they're going to be desperate to get 3 points here. Not only given the position that they are in at the table, but, you know, we talked about it, momentum is key. Even with that defeat, they would have been very, very pleased with how they played. A win here really changes the outlook for Ingolstadt.
Absolutely, and then they'll start believing that they're an opportunity to not only rise up the table, but, you know, maybe get into that top six and then see how we go. I think we'll probably have a fairer indication probably around November, let's see how English started travelling on Nuri. I think he's going to do quite a good job there. He's already instilled a philosophy with the three at the back, and I think tactically they're going to be at Riches. And you know, if they can get the best out of Sonny Kittel, which he did in midweek, then that Ingolstadt will be going in the right direction.
That is very much the case, and whether or not they can do that remains to be seen. They did that, as you say, in midweek, and I think we all want to see Sonny Kittel at his maximum because he is one of the best players in the league on his day. Moving on from Ingolstadt, it's Duisburg and Jan Regensburg up next. That's going to be a tricky enough game, I think, for both sides, but Matthew, the form book certainly says it's going to be a Jan win.
It does, but we must remember they are very ordinary away from home, kind of like Fürth, so it'll be an interesting one. Goals seems to be on the menu for this one. Both teams have conceded their fair share, but they've also been able to, recently, find the back of the net with regularity, so I think the game will end up in a draw, but I think one of those entertaining 3-3s looks very possible.
Instead of 3-3, I give you 6-all, and let's make it happen. Where do you think Jan can really take advantage of Duisburg in this one? Do you think they can? Obviously, you've already highlighted their poor away form, but two wins on the bounce, that 5-0 win away in Hamburg. Marco Grotner's back in the score sheet. Sagis Adamian, of course, continues his great form. Will the attacking prowess be just too much for Duisburg to handle?
It could be. Quick movement and being dynamic forward will help Jan in their cause. We know that the Duisburg defence has been under constant pressure throughout the season. And, I think if the likes of Jan George can, deliver a good ball for Grutner and Adam Jan, then there's no reason as to the stoppage of scoring, which I think they'll have a good chance of continuing on their goal-scoring ways.
One side who wants to get back to goal-scoring ways is Erzgebirge Aue. They travel to Paderborn this weekend. A big game for both sides, especially Paderborn, who have been a little bit inconsistent, but I think that's fair enough given that they have only just come into the league. They have been the best promoted side so far. There is no doubt about that. And I think they would have been a little bit disappointed not to come away with more on Wednesday evening. Yeah, it's one of those ones where they just let it slip through their fingers, and now they've got a bit of a dilemma. Striker Babacar Gueye is out injured, or out suspended, should I say. Sven Michel is out injured, that's what I was trying to say. It looks like it's going to be Tick Petty and one other. Who would you go for, Matthew? Is it a case of keeping faith in Ben Zielinski? Really good finish on Wednesday evening against St. Pauli. Maybe he's the one that you go with instead of maybe trying to switch things up again.
Yeah, I'll stick with him. It was a very tidy finish to open the scoring against St. Pauli. And yeah, I mean, if he's scoring goals, which he did in his last game, there's no reason to take him out. And just got to have faith in him, and we'll see from there. I think having Tech Petty next to him will be good. I think he's had some good games, and I'd be very confident for Paderborn, no matter who they've got going leading the line, that they will score with regularity, and I think they will take the 3 points from this game.
I would be surprised myself if they didn't, but such is the wonders of Zweite Bundesliga that we just don't know what's going to happen. Just one more game to look at now, and that involves Sandhausen and Magdeburg, a big battle at the wrong end of the table. Where do you see the 3 points going in this one, Matthew?
Yeah, I think the points will be shared, but it'll be interesting to see which Magdeburg turns up. Will it be the free-flowing goal-scoring machine, or will it be the timid, half-disappointing side that we've seen away from home? They've looked more comfortable in front of home, and we've discussed how their home field advantage is massive for them. But, it's going to be one where they're going to find it very tough to break down a very resolute Sandhausen defence.
And that is very much the case. I think Sandhausen, I would make them slight favourites for that one, Matthew, although, as you do say, Magdeburg have shown that they can score goals, and that's something that Sandhausen, especially at home, have struggled with.
Absolutely, and we will see. We will see if they can continue from their two-goal performance in midweek. And if they can't, then we'll probably look for them to shut the game down and limit the amount of chances that Magdeburg have on their goal.
I'm going to go for a home win on that one. We will see how that goes. So that's our roundup for match day 8. That's our little preview, and we'll see how right or, in the majority of cases, how wrong we were with those. Just time for a couple of questions at the end here. Joe Hinchcliffe, at Joe Hinchcliffe 93 on Twitter, asks, what do you think of Marcel Franke so far this season? Of course, Marcel Franke is on loan at Darmstadt from Norwich City, and Darmstadt do have the option to buy as well, which was a very, very clever move by them, Matthew, especially given how well Franke has started this season.
Yeah, he's been very good. He's been able to connect well with Itak Sulu. It was an interesting decision to bring him in. I think they saw that it wasn't really working with Roman Brejeri on loan from Ingolstadt, and they brought Franke in. I think they've done quite well. The back four's generally been really solid, despite the game in Dresden last weekend. But overall, I think they've got a really good partnership brewing, and on their day, they're probably one of the best two defensive pairings in the league.
I was a little bit surprised he didn't get a second chance at Norwich, but I don't think his spell at Dynamo did him any favours. But then again, it was one of those times for Dynamo where things just weren't going right and things weren't working out in general for the entire team. So I think fair play to Darmstadt for not so much taking the chance, but for spying what Marcel Franke can do as a zweite Bundesliga player. We all saw how good he was at Greuther Fürth before he did make the move to Norwich. And yeah, I would be very, very surprised if Darmstadt weren't trying to make that move permanent this summer. Our final question goes to Richard Carman at r_Carman. He asks, can Union finally get promoted? Matthew, is this going to be their year?
Maybe.
Come on, Matthew, be more decisive.
No, I don't think it will be, but they'll be close.
I think it could be. I think they'll finish third, but I don't know. Zweite Bundesliga teams don't do playoffs. That said, Aue did win the Dritte Liga playoff this year, but if you look back over history, Zweite Bundesliga sides are trying to avoid playoffs like the plague. I still think this should be scrapped and it should be three up and three down, but nobody listens to me anyway, so that's no great surprise that we haven't managed to get anywhere with that. But yeah, I think Union have a really decent chance this year. A very strong squad. Sebastian Polter coming back into the fold only gives them another striking option, which as much as Sebastian Anderson is a very, very good forward, I think maybe there was a little bit too much pressure on him early on this season, and the fact that Polter's back now gives him a little bit more freedom to work with. And well, who knows, maybe we could see two up top with those two. That would be very, very fun, but I don't see it was Fisher switching system anytime soon. I think that's it for this week. Matthew, have you got anything special planned this weekend?
Just watching Zweite Liga football and enjoying what weekend I have.
Happy days. I am going to be watching the golf, and as I speak to you now, the US have gone 2.5 to 1.5 up. That is live in play. So hopefully that turns around. When I last said to Matthew that Europe were 3-1 up, yeah, it's taken a very, very bad turn. But hopefully by the time you're listening to this, Europe have some points on the board and are ahead of the US in the Ryder Cup. Whatever you're doing this weekend, do enjoy it, and it promises to be a great weekend of sport. From myself and from Matthew, it's goodbye, and we'll speak to you again on Tuesday.